you?
Had a good weekend.
Yeah. A little sore and stiff from working.
Gosh, it was so nice.
Yeah.
We were not. Open the Senate Revenue Committee for February 21st, last week in February. So committee today we have, I think, a pretty doable schedule, and we'll just go right in order. Although, Harvey, you're reading the MDAC amendments. Good, okay, then we're going to go right in order as long as we feel good about our amendments to Senate Bill 23. Open a public hearing on HJM 1A. Steve Meyer.
Mr. Chair, members, House Joint Memorial 1A urges Congress to reauthorize the Secure Rural Schools and Communities Self-Determination Act of 2000, and the request is for an additional 10 years through 2016. And it also states that the extension should be in its current form, that the federal law should not be changed, and that there should be a continuing appropriation by Congress to fund it. This, the Secure Rural Schools Act was Congress's way of dealing with declines in federal forest revenue that's paid to counties, and it separated out the payment to the counties from the level of the harvest in the federal forest. And I'm sure the proponents would be happy to go into more detail.
Great. Dave Barrows, Gil Riddell from the counties. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dave Barrows. I'm with the Association of O and C Counties. If anybody would like to visit with me afterwards about what that means, I'd be glad to go into it. I've chatted with you all over the years briefly, and with me is Mr. Gil Riddell from the Association of Oregon Counties. We are the primary sponsors, but you will note, or primary requesters, but you will note that there are a number of other requesters on this bill, kind of covering the full range of interests in this building relative to timber, timber receipts, monies for schools, monies for counties, etc. Mr. Meyer said it very well. Congress in the year 2000 enacted a six-year program to assist counties and school districts nationally to deal with this issue. It is coming up for sunset in September of 06, and while it's a memorial that doesn't exactly change the direction of the world, it is another arrow in the quiver for our congressional delegation to use as they endeavor to continue this program, this critically important program, going forward. I have specifically asked the other requesters on the bill not to come today to kind of reiterate the same thing over and over to the committee. You can read who they are. They're all on there voluntarily, obviously. And so with Mr. Riddell's comments, and Mr. Chair, we will conclude our presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Gil Riddell, Policy Manager, Association of Oregon Counties. I just point out the weight of this, the importance of this. There's over $500 million biennium that comes into the state, and from directly from this legislation. It goes to schools, it goes to counties, but recall much of what counties do is perform state shared revenues, so it also comes to the state. Another important aspect is the resource advisory committees that are diverse and meet to resolve intractable, what's been intractable forest management issues, and our hope is that this will lead to sustainable forest practices and that will include healthy timber outputs on a collaborative basis and give a shot in the arm to the Oregon economy. That's another important aspect of this law.
Well done for a Monday morning.
I did what I promised the chief fiscal officer I would do, Mr. Chairman.
Good memorial should pass.
Good memorial should pass. How are we looking in Washington? I know putting odds is somewhat of a dangerous game, but how are we looking in terms of the reappropriation?
Mr. Chairman, I'm optimistic. It's a tough one. In the year 2000 was the only surplus year we've had in recent memory, maybe beyond recent memory, going either direction. And so it was one issue in 2000. It'll be a little bit different issue in 2005, 2006. Obviously, there are other demands on the budget that weren't there in 2000. And our delegation has some other big fish to fry, BPA rates and those kind of things. So they know how hard it is. One senator asked me, well, what happens if this reauthorization doesn't occur? I said, well, it's no problem, Senator. We'll just ask the counties and schools, we'll just ask for $500 million to buy any amount of your surplus. And they said, we don't have any surplus. I said, bingo. I mean, it has to happen. And I would only say that I've talked to Representative Krieger, and he went and talked to the Curry County commissioners and said, if this thing isn't reauthorized, what happens in Curry County? They said, well, we have a sheriff, we have a district attorney and district attorney, period. We have no county clerk, we have no, you know, I mean, just they peel everything off. There's nobody to run the jail, nobody to patrol the roads, nobody to prosecute crime except the DA. I mean, I think there will be counties, Mr. Chairman, if this isn't reenacted, that will come and hand the keys to the courthouse to the governor. Because the counties, after all, are only subdivisions of the state. But, Mr. Riddell.
Mr. Chair, to answer your question, there are certain advantages that we have in terms of this has been in place, and those who were skeptical about it in the beginning, less so, because it's working very well, particularly in its collaborative aspect. The disadvantage is what Dave mentioned about the budget, but it also is already in place, so it's not a new program. And so our effort is to work hard but go below the radar screen, because Oregon gets 54% of this money. It's paid nationally. And so we have to be careful. We have to work hard, but we have to be behind the scenes. So it's a little tricky, but I'm also optimistic.
Well, if there are other things that we can do, I mean, this memorial is important, but if there are other areas, because we discuss a lot here in terms of the school funding environment that we're in, today's kind of the day for school funding, but this is part of the mix that gets it done. And so if there are other, I think we're happy to pass the memorial and hopefully it helps, but if there are other ways that we might be helpful, corral us.
Thank you, by all means.
Thank you.
We won't be hesitant.
Questions or comments? Senator Metzger.
Well, I just want to say on the record I'm very disappointed in Mr. Beryl's comment. And I thought it was a poor choice of words to say that there was bigger fish to fry, like BPA, when we're trying to actually save the salmonids, you know, not fry them with BPA. So, but anyway, that was my
Steve point. Meyer wrote that down. So that we could return to that as soon as we get done giving them a 4-0 vote on this memorial. Senator Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's great that we have the memorial. I had the opportunity, Mr. Burroughs and I sat down last year and talked. I had the opportunity to go back to D.C. last April for a presentation on something we did on the judiciary, and had was able to use a day on the Hill to talk to all of our congressional delegation, with the exception of Gordon Smith's office. They just couldn't get me in. And everyone seems to be on the same page, and I know that DeFazio is, and others have been taking the lead in trying to get this reauthorized. And so whatever we can do as a state, you know, make sure that we know so we can get that message out there. And I know that they were hoping to try to do something this last year, but chose not to based on, let's call it, politics within the Beltway, and with the full court press this time, make it happen.
Yeah, good comment.
If I may, Mr. Chair, I'd like to just thank Senator Brzezinski for taking an extra day out of his life to stay back in Washington one more day and do this work. It was very helpful. And as our delegation sometimes, I think, wonders if anybody at home is paying any notices that they're doing anything. This is one of the ways we're trying to make sure they understand they do notice. That people at home do notice. Representative Walden, who has put the bill in on the House side, and Senator Wyden on the Senate side, Representative Waldman is in a great position. He chairs the subcommittee that handles this legislation, which obviously, as we all know, gives you a little leg up when you're starting down the trail.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for your efforts.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And it was really, Greg and I actually had probably about 35, 40 minutes to talk, and it was just, I was just amazed that he's one able to give me that much time. But we had a real good heart-to-heart talk because, of course, that was after I got the appointment that took in Douglas County and working with their commissioners. And but it was very positive, and he gave me a lot of the inside track, and so that's why we need to do what we're doing now to put, make sure the pressure's on all the way up to the White House.
And you should know, Senator Brzezinski has offered up any revenue from this Coburg speed trap excess would go into the same distribution form.
It sounds, Mr. Chairman, as though it may solve the budget crisis.
We'll be flush with money.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Comments are... close the public hearing on HJM 1A and open a work session on HJM 1A.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
I move HJM 1A to the Senate floor with a due-pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Joint Memorial 1A to the floor with a due-pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And Senator Farioli will carry that bill. Close the work session on HJM 1A, just so we have a good long work session. Makes it look like we're working hard on these. Open a work session on Senate Bill 23. And with us is Mazen Malik, who had a tough week last week, but is back and healthy and back on the path.
Mr. Chair, before we get started, I just need to find out if Isaac actually took a flu shot. Did I understand you were out with the flu last week?
Mr. Chair, Senator Brzezinski, I wish I was. I did take the flu shot, but I had some
other
complications, and they thought it was a heart problem.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't.
But we were talking on the way up as to how many people actually took the flu shot and how many came down with the flu. So,
but I did take the flu shot.
I know a few that took the flu shot and then Representative Butler and then got the flu right after he took the flu shot.
Well, Senator Barnhart, I mean, Representative Barnhart and Representative Rosenbaum, I understand, same thing.
Huh.
But then that incubation period, they came down with the flu. Surprise.
Mazen, from that to MDAC.
Yes. Well, it's great to be alive, Mr. Chair. So we have Senate Bill 23, and to refresh your memory on this Senate bill, it was a bill to do several things, however, the most important of which is to do a lot of housekeeping and fixing of language and statutes about bonding and with the Oregon Municipal Debt Advisory Commission. We heard this bill on February 8th, and at that time we were discussing several issues and clarifications on what the bill does and what it doesn't do, and at that time we were advised that there is an amendment in progress, and that amendment actually is in front of you today, has been only out of draft since Sunday afternoon, so they have been working on it quite diligently, counsel, until then. And I think it has basically to do with the issues that were don't work completely satisfactory in the bill itself. So this would be, as it comes to substitute for Senate Bill 28 in the sense of the different debt limits of the 5% and the 1%, and it does that, which allows us to disregard Senate Bill 28 with that. And then it deals again with the issues of the borrowing versus obligation that has been within this section of the law, the important thing to deal with. And I'm sure the proponents, the bill also, the council also, if you need to hear more about the amendment, but it seems like it needs, well, it does the job that it needs to be done as described last time.
Good, thank you. If you could please just walk us through the big changes, and I'm forgetting your last name.
Harvey Rogers.
Harvey Rogers. Mr. Rogers.
I have people in my neighborhood today.
That's right.
Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Harvey Rogers. I'm a partner at Preston Gates and Ellis, and I'm here speaking for the Municipal Debt Advisory Commission, which is asking folks to pass or to consider Senate Bill 23. Senate Bill 23 is a long bill that makes what we believe are technical corrections. Pat Clancy, who's the chair of the commission, and I walked you through the nature of those corrections last time. And if you have any questions about it, I'd be happy to do it again. At the end of the hearing, there were no substantive issues in dispute. The only things were that some of the words weren't quite the words everybody wanted. So the amendments deal with the changes in the words. And a particularly confusing bunch of them have to do with the fact that we're adding a definition of borrowing to replace the word obligation, because obligation gets used in two or three different ways. And so it was hard to get all the right obligations changed over to borrowing, but again, no substantive issue about what ought to be changed. There is a new section at the end of the amendments that is intended to replace Senate Bill 28 and do it in a simpler fashion. And it just basically says that a government that borrowed, the historical background is that the legislature authorized a certain kind of borrowing, and then it authorized the same kind of borrowing to finance pension obligations. The first authorization limited borrowings to 1% of real market value. Pension borrowings could be done up to 5%. Some people who did their pension borrowings before you folks authorized the larger amount used up their general borrowing capacity. This Section 33 of the amendments just makes it clear that if you borrowed early, the larger limit applies to that if you borrowed for pension borrowings. I'd be happy to answer it. Oh, we had one thing, if it's all right, that we would like to make sure is in the record. There's a change to the property taxing authority associated with general obligation bonds. Local governments, when the voters approve at a general election in an even numbered year or an election where a majority of folks turn out, can levy a property tax that is sufficient to pay bonds. There is a timing issue associated with that tax. The tax comes in December and it's supposed to pay bonds for the whole fiscal year, so we suggested some changes that make that clear. What we wanted to put on the record is that the tax is dedicated by the Constitution. It can only be used to pay general obligation bonds, so we don't believe there is any risk that the money would be diverted or there would be any sort of over-levy. I'd be happy to try and answer any other questions.
Glad you got that on the record. Just questions or comments for Mr. Rogers? Thank you very much. And just so everything from 28 and 23 is included that needed to be changed is included in the Dash 1 amendments.
That is correct. And if it's all right, I would like to thank Mr. Malik and Harrison Connolly, who worked so hard on the amendments.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad I was had the same thought. I know Harrison and Mr. Malik worked very hard to get this ready for us today, and yourself. And we don't have to get into the term limits of the chairperson of MDAC and the Dash 1 amendments, but we will return to that later this week. Any comments? We're in work session on Senate Bill 23.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 23.
Thank you. Senator Starr has moved the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 23. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Starr.
Move the Senate Bill 23 as amended to the floor to be passed recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 23 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And the Senate President will carry this bill as tradition. Close the work session on Senate Bill 23, which also takes care of Senate Bill 28. Thank you, Mazin. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
And then Senate Bill, our last bill of the day, Senate Bill 283.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Good morning. Open a work session on Senate Bill 283, which we're bringing back from about 10 days ago. Dr. Ayala.
Thank you. This bill enables a limited liability company to qualify for a property tax exemption or special assessment if the company is wholly owned by a nonprofit corporation and the property would qualify for the exemption or special assessment had it been directly owned by the nonprofit corporation. We continued to do some research on this bill last week, collected data and passed it on to some tax assessors, property assessors in the state. Two, actually, because there was a short list that we pulled from the Department of Justice's website, and we sent that on to the tax assessors. None of them reported that there were any real major cases to be that would be impacted by this bill. And so we changed the revenue estimate from being a possible revenue impact to no revenue impact. That is it, Mr. Chair.
Great. Great. So that was the main question that I remembered from the last hearing that we had. Any others that the committee has on Senate Bill 283? And we are in work session. I don't think we need any testimony because that was the only question that folks had.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move Senate Bill 283 to the floor with two pass recommendations.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 283 to the floor with a two-pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections to that motion? So orders. And Senator Starr, would you be willing to...
I'd be delighted.
...carry that bill? And we will close the work session on Senate Bill 283. Thank you.
Thank you.
So what we have for the rest of the week, committee, is really just two issues. Urban renewal, which we'll take up tomorrow. We have a panel that is going to come in and update us on what is the current state of urban renewal, and then we're going to get into a bill that could provide a vehicle for just reexamining and looking at. I know folks have six or seven changes to the urban renewal system that they're going to bring to us as ideas. And so that will take up Tuesday and Wednesday, and hopefully after we're done on Wednesday, we'll have some sense of where the committee is in terms of entertaining those changes that folks are going to bring us on urban renewal. Paul, do you want to add anything to our lineup for Tuesday and Wednesday, or...
Mr. Chair, we have Department of Revenue will and the AORA, which is the Urban Renewal Statewide Organization, will kind of give us some background initially, and then we have Wade Fickler from the City Club of Portland, who have done a very extensive analysis of urban renewal and have some findings and recommendations for the committee, and they'll have a couple of their members here as well. We've also talked to the Portland Development Commission, who will be here.
Great.
The other thing on the schedule is to remind you that we'll meet on Friday for the forecast. Forecast release will be at 9 o'clock in this room on Friday, at a joint meeting with the House Revenue Committee.
So we won't meet on Thursday. We'll come back on Friday to get the forecast, which I hear there's a little new information coming out on Friday. So, and we'll do it as a joint committee. We'll have the House with us on Friday.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Brzezinski.
Paul, did you say it's going to be this room or room 50, I thought?
It will be in this room.
So. Okay.
As tradition, Senator Brzezinski.
Cool.
With that, we are adjourned.
Well done.